This podcast is sponsored by The Knowledge Website, a digital digest that cuts through the noise. Brought to you by the founder of The Week, John Connell. Every day, The Knowledge gives you all you need to know in just 5 minutes, delivered straight to your inbox or to your app. Sign up for free at theknowledge.com to get the most interesting ideas, the stories that matter, and the quirkiest anecdotes, all expertly curated.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by Katie Bors and James Forsyth. So today the government is embroiled in a diplomatic row with France. Katie, what's the latest in this sort of whack-a-mole approach to holiday lists?
So we have a situation where the government is generally easing rules when it comes to travel, particularly for the double vaccinated. So those who are double vaccinated, when they go to an amber list country, no longer need to quarantine on return if they are double jabbed. Now, that clearly opens up lots of travel options, particularly if you think about the number of people going up the age ranks who have now achieved that. But where there is a diplomatic row brewing is over France, because France has recently added to a new category of Amber Plus, which I think was frustrating, not just for those who had booked holidays to France, who were in France at the time, but also to the travel industry, because obviously they're trying to play by a set of rules that you think you understand, and then all of a sudden a new category exists. And Amber Plus means that even if you are double vaccinated, you have to isolate and return. Now, I think partly because other countries now are facing a more relaxed prospect for UK travellers, so France was disadvantaged, but also because Dominic Raab made comments in which this all comes down to the Beta variant, so the South African COVID variant, which they've been worried about for some time in terms of potentially evading the vaccines. And now there's a row brewing because they think this is focusing on cases in a part of France, you know, which isn't mainland where most people are, and therefore they're being disadvantaged. And clearly we have such a close relationship with France for many reasons, but you look at the Channel border crossings, the subject of the front of the Spectator this week, and how close we have to communicate with them on a whole range of options. And it means that I think it's a particularly tricky country when there is a problem like this.
James, is it worth all the faff in order to put France on the sort of extra list, given that, I mean, I remember we were talking this time last year about how complicated a lot of the COVID systems and the tiers and stuff were becoming. And so I thought the whole point was to simplify. Is it really worth all of the backlash in order to just put France on the list by itself?
Yeah, and I think the big question is, why is France on that list? Now, as Katie said, the reason is this concern about the Beta variant in France. But I think that part of the argument which Dominic Raab kind of added to a confusion over yesterday is it because of the Beta cases in Réunion, an island that is a long way from mainland France, or is it because of Beta cases in mainland France itself? Now, I think most people seem to think that this is about Réunion, which makes the decision odder and more surprising. I think what it reveals is, there is this kind of constant push-me-pull-you on these travel restrictions, which is, from an economic point of view, you obviously want to ease up as many of these restrictions as possible. You want to try and get international travel going again, not just for the tourism industry, but for business and the like. On the other hand, you've got the kind of public health people whose concern is all about variants, whose concern is all about importing a variant which escapes the vaccine to a greater effect. Now, I think the perverse good news about the current situation is that the Delta variant is so infectious that I think it is likely to outcompete all the other known variants we have at the moment, such as Beta. That doesn't mean it's necessarily going to outcompete future variants, but of the ones we know about at the moment, I think it will outcompete them. And so the France decision seems odd. I suspect it will come off the list, but I think it is another reminder, and as Katie said, people wanted some predictability, some certainty about these rules. I think that the brutal truth is that because of this constant push-me-pull-you about the balance between the economy and public health, no one is going to get this summer. This summer is going to be a nightmare summer when it comes to international travel.
And Katie, in other COVID news, and perhaps because of what James was saying as well, to reduce that uncertainty, Keir Starmer has waded into the row about pandemic again and urged the Prime Minister to bring forward the date at which double jab people will be avoided from isolating. Can you talk us through what's happening there?
Yes, I mean, once again, we're seeing Labour trying to come up with a way of opposing the government on COVID, which tends to be constructive opposition in their mind. But we had Keir Starmer saying last week that ultimately it was irresponsible that the government had lifted so many rules and relaxed so many things. When you drilled down, really the main sticking point appeared to be face masks and a call for better ventilation. I don't think anyone in government disagrees with the idea of better ventilation. So it didn't feel particularly different. And now we've got a new intervention from Keir Starmer, which is saying that actually they need to relax the rules on self-isolation for the double jab specifically, bringing it forward because it's supposed to be the middle of the next month that comes in. And Keir Starmer saying, look at Welsh Labour and what they're doing, the government there, do that. Now, I think it's interesting clearly that he's looking to place his Labour in power to put pressure on the Tories. But also I think it's interesting because there are two reasons that the so-called Freedom Day has proved very chaotic. One is nerves, because lots of people, if you look at polling, are worried the government is moving too fast and the health emergency is not over. They worry things could move back very quickly. And that's what Keir Starmer seemed to be latching onto when he was talking about too many rules being eased. And the second is the pandemic, so the fact that things are very dysfunctional if you have lots of people having to self-isolate. I think you can clearly make an argument that the double vaccinated have less of a need to, but I do think by kind of going for both options, I'm not quite sure what Keir Starmer's trying to say here. He would just handle the whole pandemic better, or we've got to be more cautious. I think it actually confuses his message a bit.
James, do you agree?
I think what Keir Starmer is trying to do, as Katie was mentioning there, she's trying to point to places where Labour run the show and say, look, things are better there. They've got a higher percentage of the population double vaccinated. Wales has just been opening up to vaccinations to people who are just shy of their 18th birthday. And because they've managed to get more people vaccinated, they can relax these restrictions earlier. I don't think it's a move that he expects the government to make, but I think it's an attempt to him to try and say to people, look at where Labour is running things, and things are going more smoothly. Now, I think this is a kind of, there undoubtedly the vaccination programme in Wales has been successful, and they have got slightly higher take-up than you've got in England, and in Scotland as well, for that matter. But I think this is designed, I think, also to have a kind of resonance with people, because it's something we've discussed on this podcast a couple of times this week. For a lot of people, the real Freedom Day, in inverted commas, won't come until August the 16th, because a lot of people are saying, well, I want to go to this wedding, or I want to go on that holiday. So that means that to avoid being pinged, I better lie low for the 10 days beforehand. And so I think until these rules about double vaccination change, then I don't think you will see big changes in the mobility data. I think if you look at the mobility data, no one can see when Freedom Day in inverted commas kicks in. I also, though, think there is a reason why the government picked August the 16th for this easing up of the rules. I think that is when they think that the cases are beginning to trend down and that the country will be out of the woods in terms of hospitalizations. Now, given the data this week, which has been more encouraging than people expected, maybe that date would have come further forward if they'd known that when they set it, what they know now. But I really don't think they will change, because I think having decided on this date of August the 16th, they will stick with it. There is also, I think this is the other factor, there is also a kind of nervousness in government that they don't quite understand why the numbers have dropped as sharply as they have. And so they are wary about acting on anything that takes those drops in numbers for granted.
Yeah, and the numbers have been coming up a little bit in the last couple of days as well. Although, for listeners who want to find out more, Katie Ball's interview Sunetra Gupta from Oxford University on Spectator TV this week, and Sunetra's argument is that it dropped because we've got immunity. So do have a watch of that to find out more. Katie and James, thanks very much for joining this podcast.